Again, just let me bid you welcome for a moment and again express appreciation for your desire to be with us, especially not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but to engage as a congregation in worship to our Heavenly Father. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. We're just going to be talking about a good-looking Christian. Now, looking around, I don't see any exceptions this morning. I'll get on your good side right away. Maybe. I just want to say by way of introduction that our life, as we go about our daily living, is a life of looks. We all sometimes will say to someone close to us or nearby, "Hey, look at this." When I'm driving, Christine says, "Look where you're going." Or we sometimes will say to one another, "You know, I like the way this looks." Or at a traffic accident, we have that phrase, looky-loos. I remember the television program Superman. It always began with, "Look up in the sky." At railroad crossings, we have the warning, "Stop, look and listen." Each morning, when we get up, we look in the mirror and we begin to make adjustments to our looks. Most of us do. We ask each other, "How do I look?" So our looks are in life are important, or they're part of our life. But this lesson is about our spiritual looks. In Ephesians 5, verse 15, I didn't put this one in your notes, but in the introduction, Ephesians 5, 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly." The admonition that we're circumspectly is that's because be careful how we walk. Look at the way that you walk. Look, as you're walking, look in all the directions around us. He's asking us to be aware of our surroundings as we walk, not just physically, but spiritually. When we're walking, you know, we admonish each other, look for the smooth path or the safe path. Look out for the pitfalls. Avoid the hazards. Be sure you look where you're going. We walk carefully in life because we want to be aware of dangerous situations. As parents, when we're crossing a parking lot or a street, we grab hold of our child's hand because we know, depending on their age, they may see our automobile and just dart across the walkway. We know that's not safe. Don't do that. We want to look. Look. So in our lesson this morning, we're looking seven directions spiritually. Number one is a look that's upward. Look up. I've listed in a couple ways, but number one in prayer. Look up in prayer. In John chapter 17, verse 1, we have the beginning of Jesus' prayer, one of his prayers that's recorded. And John chapter 17 opens with the words, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, Father," and then the prayer begins for quite a few verses. The psalmist said in chapter 5, verse 3, "My voice thou wilt hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and look up." Now, the Bible doesn't mention a specific posture for prayer. Many times when we pray, we bow our heads and close our eyes, maybe fold our hands. Perhaps one reason why we do that is just so that we can focus our thoughts and our concerns in our prayer to God. When we do these kinds of things, this particular posture, it kind of takes away all of the interference that might be there. In the Bible, it's certainly okay to lift up our eyes when we talk to God, or fall upon the ground, or kneel in prayer. There's not a one certain posture for prayer that we need to always assume, but in this particular lesson, when we look, I want us to think about spiritual eyes that look up to God in prayer, in your life and mine. Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 6, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So one of the first looks that we have in this lesson is to look up in prayer. Even in attitude and direction of life. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, that's us as Christians, seek those things which are above. Look up in life. Where look up where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections. It's a matter of the heart. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. So number one, when we talk about a good-looking Christian, look up. Second, look down. Look down, number one, in humility. Lowliness of mind. Absence of vanity or arrogance. Lack of pretentiousness. Look down. Typically, I think when we look up, it should cause us to look down. Because when we're looking up and see the majesty of God and His attributes and His character, who am I? I want to look down. In Colossians 3, verse 12, put on, therefore, as God's elect, as God's holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind. Part of our look is to put on humbleness of mind. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider thy heaven, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Look again, the majesty of God and the Creator, and you think, who am I? It causes us to look down in humility. And we look down in caution. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Look down. And we sing the children's song, be careful little eyes what you see. Sang that since my youth. Be careful little eyes what you see. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little ears what you hear. Father up above looking down in tender love. So be careful little ears what you hear. Be careful, little lips, what you say. Again, the chorus is, there's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So be careful, little lips, what you say. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Father up above looking down in tender love. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. And the verse continues. Then the last stanza, we'd always sing, so watch your eyes, ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. Watch your eyes, ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So watch your eyes, ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. Look downward in humility. Number three is a look forward. Look forward, as Dennis mentioned in his prayer this morning. Look forward in hope. That's a desire with an expectation of fulfillment. If you have hope, if you have the hope of heaven, that's an expectation that we have that it will take place. That's our hope. Titus 1 verse 12 speaks of our hope of eternal life, which God promised who cannot lie. So we look forward in hope based upon the promises of God. Look forward in confidence. If you have confidence in your faith, I have confidence in my faith. It means we have that conviction. We have that assurance. We have that trust that the promise that God said He will do, He will fulfill. You know, we sing with confidence, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. And then it continues, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Blessed assurance. We sing, I know that my Redeemer lives. We sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We sang the song this morning, we're marching to Zion. That's our confidence. Even in not only the verses that we read, but the songs that we sing. And in 1 John 5, verse 3, knowledge gives us confidence. John said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. We need to look forward with confidence. that we have eternal life. That's one reason why we have the scriptures that have been given to us. Read them and have faith that gives you confidence that what God has said He will do, He will perform. That's a look that's necessary. Number four. Look backward. You know, that's something we do in life. Those who don't know their history, we sometimes say, are bound to repeat it. We have rear view mirrors in our cars, but you don't want to steadfastly look backward, but there's a time to take a look backward. On the spiritual side, in worship, we look back to Jesus' life and sacrifice. Mentioned this morning, in partaking of the Lord's Supper, Jesus instructed, this do in remembrance of me. So yes, there's a time to look upward, look downward, look forward, but look backward. In our prayers, we thank God for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us 2,000 years ago. A look backward, but still we look forward in great expectation. Many of our songs take us back to that amazing grace of God. A look backward. Our preaching will oftentimes tell that old story. A look backward. So that's part of our look too. Number five is a look inward. A look inward. It's a time of self-examination. Don't examine the person sitting next to you. Mm-hmm. Examine ourselves. That's what this look does. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, try yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. So Jesus said in Luke 6 verse 46, why do you call me Lord and do not the things I say? So this is the time to look at the things that Jesus commands. Look at the obligations the Bible presents to you and me. And I need to look, when I look at those verses, and I say, am I doing that? Does that characterize my life? Am I living in harmony with the Word of God? And think about soul salvation. I just want to read the words of a song. It's hymn number 489, and the song asks a question. Is it well with your soul? So self-examination time. The words of the song, 489. Said, mid the toil and strife of this busy life, is it well with your soul? Are you living right? Should you die tonight, is it well with your soul? Second stanza. Have you lost your sin? Are you pure within? Is it well with your soul? Are you at the side of the crucified? Is it well with your soul? Third stanza. Do you love the praise of the one above? Is it well with your soul? Will the crown be won and the Lord's well done? Is it well with your soul? The chorus. Is it well with your soul? Are you free, glad, and whole? Are you living right? Should you die tonight? Is it well with your soul? So look inward. Look inward. Number six is look outward. Look outward. Look out, number one, in vigilance. The admonition of Jesus in Matthew 26, verse 41, he asked or mentioned to his disciples, watch and pray. Take a look. Look out for yourselves that ye enter not into temptation. Take a look. Watch and pray. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be watchful. Watchful, look out. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Look out. Look out. Watch where you're going. Look for opportunities to help a brother. In Galatians 6, verse 2, we have the admonishment, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Look out for one another. Maybe ask the question, what do you need? How can I help you? Or just simply with knowledge of the burdens another have, just say, let me get that for you. So look, when you look out, not only look out for yourself in vigilance, watch and pray, but look out for a brother. And then we need to seek those who are lost. Watch out for them. In Proverbs 11, verse 30, it says, he that wins souls is wise. Look out for the other's salvation. Last one I put was number 7, look Christward for salvation. Look Christward. You may look to many sources or to many people for success and a healthy life physically here on earth. There are many self-help books by many authors. There's a lot of 10 and 12 step programs to help you physically get through life, physical life. In all of these books and many authors, different ideas and ways and means are all designed for success here, based upon that author's thoughts or ideas. They're designed to relieve somewhat the stresses of earthly life. But God offers eternal life through only one person, and that's His Son. And Jesus was introduced in Matthew 1, verse 21. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. So if you're looking for salvation from sin, you don't go to the self-help aisle of the library or the bookstore. You go to the Word of God. Jesus, in His ministry, broadcast this kind of message. He says, I am the way, not a way among many. He said, I'm not a smorgasbord of ideas. No, I am the way, the truth, not a truth among many truths. No, I am the truth, the life, not a life for which you to choose from among many. No, I am the life, the way, the truth, the life. No man, Jesus' own words, no man comes to the Father but by Him. No man. So we're not left, or we're still left to a choice, but we need to make the right choice. We need to look Christward for salvation. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 5, verse 9, that He, meaning Jesus, became unto all them that obey Him the author of eternal salvation. We need to look Christward for salvation. So now we ask ourselves in closing, how do I look? How do I look? These are all important looks. But salvation begins with the last one. It begins right there in obedience to the Lord's commands. So in our Christian life, yes, we want to look up and look down. We want to look forward, look backward. You want to look inward and look outward. But if not, you're not a Christian. Well, all of us need to look Christward. That's for salvation. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, if you're not a Christian, you've not been born again, not been baptized, then you need to look Christward. You need to hear His message. He would save His people from their sins. So He broadcast a salvation message. Then you need to believe that message. Believe that He is God's Son. And John 3:16, whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then Jesus' own words in Luke chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. So we look to Jesus for salvation. Philip in Acts chapter 8 preaches to the Ethiopian, preaches a message of Jesus. And the Ethiopian makes a conclusion. Well, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said to the Ethiopian, if you believe, you may. And his response was, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He makes a confession of faith. And then they stop the chariot. And they both go down into the water and Philip baptizes them. So that's the message we present, a biblical message, not a message from what you had. You can just choose any and all. No, one salvation message. We sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation following the lesson. It gives you time to think about not only the lesson you've heard, but perhaps other lessons. And if that's your heart's desire, if that's your resolve to become a Christian, to obey those or follow those steps, then you simply need to let that be known. One way to do that is to simply respond during the song or afterwards, have a seat beside me. At the close of the song, I'll simply ask you a question, what's on your mind? And your response will be, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. So Brian, I want brethren to pray with me or for me on a decision I have or repentance I need to make. And we can accomplish that. So that's the invitation we extend with this song. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve to respond to this invitation, please do so while we're singing this song.